Next on BYUSN, Kevin Young doing work for BYU basketball. They signed big man Kaba Keita out of Utah. What does he bring to the Cougars, and how does the signing impact the roster? Former BYU linebacker Isaiah Kafusi details where he would like to see BYU improve in year two of Big 12 play, and why the 2020 team is the best BYU team ever.
What? In the spirit of Kaba Keita transferring to BYU, who are the best Utah to BYU transfers ever? Plus, how BYU baseball player Cooper Vest proved to himself that he could be victorious, overcoming obstacles in the newest Deep Blue.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, May 9th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a big backwards hat guy, Jerem Jordan.
Okay, so let's talk about it, because I know you are too. Colin Cowherd had an issue with J.J. Redick being a guy who wears his hat backwards, being considered for the Lakers head coaching job.
Okay.
Quote, he looks like a guy that's going to move my couch. So LeBron James tweeted about Jason Kidd and Utah Jazz governor and our BYU dude, Ryan Smith, in support. So we stand with Ryan in the backwards hat space. So this segment is backward hat segment, okay? We love a good backward hat, dude, so let's go.
Just make it the backwards hat show, for crying out loud. I don't know. But we stand with Ryan.
And like a snapback specifically screams summer sales around here. Which is a youthful exuberance.
But snapback's forward. Like, that's the flat-brimmed backwards
okay,
hat
I'm speaking
guy.
About the 05 to 09 era, a.k.a. when I was at BYU.
You buying a security system from somebody that shows up like this? No. But if it's, like, forward and flat-brim and pristine, then it's a different impression.
I do have a security system. I did not get it from a kid who with the flat-brim, though.
I just love that Ryan Smith referenced Elders Quorum. In the move.
Yes, he said like hashtag, what did he say? Hashtag Elders Quorum Movers.
That is well
That's
played.
How we're all denting the walls.
That Elders Quorum energy, ready to move the house. Come on. Good stuff. Okay, we'll leave these on for, the rest of the segment.
This Why segment. Not? I mean, we could this segment, yeah.
We could do the whole show. We'll stick with the segment.
Yeah.
In the meantime, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Game changer. Kaba Keita. We need more of this. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
He is fired up. We need more of Kaba Keita.
Jerem.
Okay.
Anytime Bill Walton is involved early in the show, we're off to a great start.
I love Bill Walton. Let's talk about that. That's the only time in the history of this show that we're going to allow Utah highlights against BYU, okay? Because now he's a Coug, babe!
And it's Bill Walton announcing said highlights.
That's awesome.
Oh, I'm ready to roll. Energy is where it needs to be. Kaba Keita, unbelievable. Yes. He's with BYU basketball, as we just referenced.
Jeff. Big man.
We have a big man. Rim-rolling five is now on the roster.
Yep.
What does Kaba Keita bring to BYU?
Super excited. Always to get a talented player. By the way, and we've been saying it's Kaba Keita, so we all say it correctly. Rim runner, rim protector, lob threat, physical specimen. Chris Burgess calls him a Jedi Knight because he plays with force. This is a real thing. In the Pac-12, in conference play last year, KenPom, second in offensive rebounding percentage in the league, fifth in block percentage, eighth in fouls drawn per 40, 10th in defensive rebound percentage, 11th in two-point percentage, 14th in offensive rating. This dude right away comes in as the starting center to me. He comes in right away. Also, he's from Mali. So we got the Mali boys with Foose, which is really fun. His per 40, really good. He only played 16 minutes a game. They had some good quality bigs there at Utah, thanks to your boy Chris Burgess. And so his per 40, 20 a game, 13 boards, 2.7 blocks, 5.8 free throws, 4.1 field goal attempts. Like, he's going to get a good 25 minutes, I would guess, a game in minutes played, assuming he's healthy. And he's going to make a difference, bro. He has the physicality to hang in the Big 12 and to be a very effective signing. I am stoked. And we have talked about, hey, need a big man and still need another one. BYU got a tremendous one in Kaba Keita.
The numbers are impressive, for sure, and you just outlined all of them. But if you have a conversation with any one of the BYU basketball players that played against him, they will mention two things: his length and his athleticism. And Dallin Hall said on his Instagram story yesterday, I'd rather he be my teammate than play against him.
I love that.
Okay?
Let's go.
Like, it's he is so disruptive in mm-hmm. the way he plays defensively. And then his ability to attack the rim. It just, there's an aggression.
It's like a violence
way that
to
he
it.
Plays. Yes.
Like
he's aggressive it might, and a violent presence in the post.
BYU basketball game suddenly got PG-13. With Kate, like a little
Kata.
More violence in the rim.
Well,
let's go.
They left the Pac-12 to go PG-13 at BYU. Okay, step up, 12 to 13. Let's do this.
PG-16.
The most impressive number for me probably is the second in offensive rebounding. BYU.
Legit.
Like, when you can get offensive rebounds, Jerem, and you have a bunch of shooters on the perimeter, this is just a formula for great success. Yeah. That's my favorite number that he brings in. Is his offensive rebounding prowess. Second in the Pac-12 in offensive rebound percentage at 14.1 is a significant number.
Yeah.
BYU was in desperate need of this type of player. And he had so many suitors, Jerem.
Yep.
Some high-level, high-paying suitors.
Yeah.
The list was long. He chose BYU. Why? Because he had an unbelievable visit with Chris Burgess and Kevin Young on his visit on Monday. It could not have gone better. Got wind of it later that night that things went really well and that BYU was a legit possibility. We'll see. It's exciting. And then it happens. Yes, it comes out official that he is a BYU Cougar. This is great news for BYU basketball.
We told you yesterday and you were saying, hey, great visit with the big. You were talking about Kata. And we said, hey, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in the next little while. Hey, we didn't know it was that day, but pretty awesome. BYU gets a big that fits in right away. If I was Kevin Young, and I am not, this just in, I would start Kata. I would bring Fuss off the bench. I just think that's a really nice 1-2 punch with your two fives, and you have physicality. And it's the Molly boys. Like, I love that connection as well. I don't think Kata comes if Chris Burgess isn't here. Does that seem pretty obvious? Like, maybe he does. Maybe he does. But he probably stays at Utah. He got in the portal literally at the last second.
The combo of Chris
because
Burgess.
Of Chris Burgess,
yes,
I think.
The combo of Chris Burgess and Kevin Young's ability to develop NBA talent. Given his history, his obvious work with NBA high-level players, yep. Like that's hard to beat.
It's a big get, and BYU gets Chris Burgess, and it really helps there. It really does.
No question. Already making an impact.
Yep.
And all I've been told is this is the first of several exciting things that are about to happen for BYU basketball. I don't know the timeline, but I love that rhetoric.
It's all happening today. No, just kidding. Although we've had several instances recently on the show, Spence, where later that day after we're talking about something happened. So who knows? Topic two. Let's take a look at the updated roster and talk about what you like, Spence, and what you think is still needed. So backcourt, players, you've got Dallin Hall, Trevin Nell, Dawson Baker, Richie Saunders, Trey Stewart. Front court, we've thrown Brody Kozlowski and Noah Waterman in there as stretch fours, Fuss, and now Kaba Keita. What do you think of this nine-man incoming roster, which would leave you four scholarships?
Now, of the scholarship players, and I put out just a projected starting five yesterday, just to gauge how BYU fans would feel about it.
Remind people what that was.
And so, obviously, Dallin Hall at point guard. You got Dawson Baker as essentially your two guard. Like, he's a combo guard. And then I was like, I could put Trevin Nell at the three, but I'm going to throw Richie Saunders in there.
Okay.
I don't know what Kevin Young's going to do there.
Quality off the bench either way.
Sure. It could be a guard forward type, Trevin Nell or Richie Saunders.
Yeah.
And then at the four, because he can stretch a defense with his ability to shoot the three, Noah Waterman and his length, and then Kaba Keita as the five.
Yep.
And some BYU fans took real issue with the idea that Fuss was not in the starting five.
He wasn't for most of last year.
And that Trevin Nell was a starter last year. I get it. Like, Kevin Young could start Trevin Nell, and he could decide a few games the matchup's better to start Fuss a few games.
Great.
Whatever. The point is the depth is there. They have eight starters for five positions. That's what I'm excited about. Eight starters and five positions to do so. So who cares? You think Richie Saunders cares if he comes off the bench and he's the sixth man of the year in the Big 12?
No. Richie's going to help your team no matter where he comes from, right? I don't really care. We know that Dallin Hall's going to start. We know that, right? But it's kind of up in the air what the rest of them will look like. Like, do you bring Dawson off the bench? Is he too good? Yeah, got to bring him in. BYU's going to have great balance again. They're going to have great shooters. They're going to have great pace. I'm very excited about it. And this is with four scholarships missing still. Like, they have room to bring in great talent already. and it's going to add to what is already a really nice core of players. And it's exciting because now you bring in Brody Kozlowski out of high school, who's going to be a factor for BYU. Kaba Keita, probably your starting center. That battle with Foose for that spot is great. Those guys are going to split the 40 minutes.
Yep.
If it's 20-20, that's great.
Great.
Those are two very good players.
Who cares who starts in that instance?
I love, and I've said it, yesterday or the last couple days? I love Foose as your backup a little more than I love Foose as a starter.
Foose as a bench
change
player
of pace
was there. Awesome last year for BYU.
Yes, he was.
And Jackson Robinson wasn't a starter for BYU last year.
Right.
Did it matter?
Right.
He played starter minutes. Did it matter? No, but the energy and the shot-making capability that he brought in, the change of pace that he brought in, that helps a team. So who cares? If you have eight or nine starters and you can mix up the minutes so that they all feel like they're significant contributors, it doesn't really matter.
And we'll discuss this further later, but as currently constituted, I think BYU is real close to being a tourney team, or maybe right there.
I believe they are.
And if you add another quality piece or two like Keita, you go, hey, this is a tourney team. It's just like, what seed are you going to be in? Can you win that first matchup? So this is exciting, man. BYU adds to what we were calling for, which is, hey, obviously you need some big men. Like, BYU could probably roll like this, but they're going to get another guy or two, I would anticipate.
Yeah.
Given that Kozlowski and Waterman aren't true front court players. They're stretch fours. They could definitely play as your small forward if you go kind of super big there. But I don't anticipate that BYU is going to have more than, like, you won't see Keita and Foose on the court a ton together, if at all.
It would be
unique. Last year, we never really saw two bigs in the game for BYU at the same time. Like, very little, if at all. Because BYU wants four shooters out there. And when you play like Waterman at the five, sometimes if you go smaller, you got five shooters. Like Khalifa provided a fifth shooter. You don't have an Ali type quite yet. But I'm excited to see Keita roll to the bucket and downhill throw an alley-oop. That's going to happen at least 24 times next year.
I know some of you are thinking, okay, but doesn't BYU need what the coaches were talking about and have been public about? That athletic wing guard, a guy who can defend on the perimeter against a team's best offensive player, and another dude that can create out the dribble.
Those
and
are the two
open
spots.
Up things.
Yes, that they specified. They have four scholarships to use with those two.
They're working on it. I can tell you that much.
Yes, they are.
They're very hard at work, and they have some ongoing conversations with some high level players right now. I imagine Jackson Robinson is in that mix as well. I feel like it's about a 5 to 10% chance that Jackson would come back to college based on...
I felt that way about Richie when I saw that picture at the airport.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Who knows? Maybe Jackson Robinson doesn't like what happens in his NBA combine and the feedback he gets is not what he wants to hear. And he's like, maybe I should go back and work with, you know, the guy who trained Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal last season as my head coach. And he can help me take that next step in the NBA. Not saying that a Kentucky or some other high-level program wouldn't come after Jackson hard, but
they will BYU, if he comes back.
If he opts to come back and play college basketball, BYU has a better chance, understandably, of getting Jackson back because of Kevin Young. Like, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
But we're here, and that is a reality.
That would be awesome, because I would love to have someone come in at the caliber of Jackson Robinson. That's hard to get out of the portal. But so Jackson Robinson ends up being a great option should you be able to get him. So, yeah, so far so good. Nine scholarship players anticipated right now. Four scholarships available for the total of 13, right? Some capable walk-ons in the mix as well.
Yeah, and I've had a few people say, Spencer, what about Townsend Triple and Jared McGregor? You're like, we haven't forgotten. We're just talking
specifically just talking scholarship
players. The scholarship players right now.
Yeah.
There are nine. Okay, and who knows? Maybe... if there's one available, maybe Townsend or Jared
gets one,
at the end.
Yeah.
But what we know is there are nine as currently.
I've also been told that when Kevin Young was with the Suns, super busy, right? Like 12 a.m., 1 a.m. phone calls with staff figuring things out, right? It's crazy. It's not really slowed down because they're still putting the roster together, even though he doesn't have the Suns. Like, this dude is burning the midnight oil with this staff to get this done.
Let's get him some Postum and Pyro.
Postum's so bad. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
It's so bad.
My dad was an avid Postum.
Was he really?
Drinker.
Oh, it's so gross. Oh. Hold on. I've got some right here.
Oh, yes. Enjoy, Jerem, from your mug. Yes. Every time I see your mug, I think, it's so intellectual.
I'm pretty sure Postum's not going to be a sponsor anymore after that little piece. My bad.
Question of the
day. They used to be a BYU Ready sponsor.
Of course they did. It's brilliant marketing for both sides.
About to get an email.
What has been Kevin Young's best acquisition as BYU's new head basketball coach thus far. You can go any direction you want, coaches or a handful of players, bringing guys back into his core. Andrew Flynn on X answers, bringing Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders back were big. Kozlowski and Keita are nice, but Burgess? Come on, that's the answer here. Big long-term dividends. So a shout-out for Chris Burgess.
I like that. However, there's nothing long-term. Everything's year-to-year in college.
When you're a really good assistant coach, let's say some other decent jobs open up at the head position, Chris Burgess is going to be a candidate, just like he was at BYU.
Like at Utah, for example, if things don't go well there. Who knows? Like, everything is up in the air year to year. I do love that answer, though. I think that's great.
Jennifer Price Carver on Instagram says, getting back Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, proven players central to BYU's success this past year.
I think when you're talking about which players you could have picked that returned, obviously you wanted Jackson Robinson, but like the combo of those two is really awesome.
Those are BYU guys.
Yes, they are.
Those are BYU guys.
Like, I was very concerned, Spence, that if BYU lost Dallin Hall and Rich Saunders, it's like, whoa, if we can't keep these guys that love BYU, that are return missionaries, like, that is trouble. You got to be able to keep those kinds of guys. And obviously, everyone has their own situation. Like, Colin Chandler chose to go to Kentucky. I'm not saying every guy needs to come to BYU. I'm not that guy.
Colin Chandler was clearly a Mark Pope guy.
Sure. But some of them, hopefully the majority of them, that wanted to be at BYU and that were at BYU, stay at BYU. Mm-hmm. But who knows what the next couple years are going to look like. Again, this is very year to year.
All right. Up next at UT Pheasant Hunter on X says, simple answer, the fans. How many of us were buying into the woe is me mentality? Winning the fans back is his biggest accomplishment.
All you need to give is a little bit of time in those moments to me. Like, just wait and see what's happening next and then see if you're still woe is me. Because typically, you remember after two football seasons ago, not last year, but the year before, all these guys jumped in the portal. It's like, oh my gosh! It's like, just wait to see who BYU gets. And BYU got some guys, and we were feeling good going into the season. Obviously, 5-7 isn't what we wanted, but just give it a sec. After last year's basketball season going into this year, we were all that way.
I don't fault BYU fans.
I don't either.
For feeling the way,
I mean, but what I'm saying is just give it a little bit of time.
Sure.
And
patience.
Then see if it's still that way. Because typically it isn't.
Trust in Tom Holmo and Brian Santiago, the help of, Danny Ainge coming to make a recommendation. They get Kevin Young. Isn't it wild that, trust me, I get it, on the heels of Mark Pope announcing he's going to Kentucky.
And then Dallin and Richie
Dallin,
in the portal.
Dallin, Richie, Ali, all
Jackson's
into the going portal.
Pro and
Colin Chandler commits to Kentucky. Like, all of that happened.
That was a low point.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the next day?
Kevin Young.
No, it was that morning, Colin Chandler.
Morning, Colin Chandler. That became like
page
six story in terms of Colin Chandler compared to what BYU did hiring Kevin Young. It was like, we just got the highest paid NBA assistant coach.
Would have loved Colin. Still would love Colin.
Yep. Yeah. Door is open.
Yeah, every year.
Door is open.
Join us for another BYOSN 1 hour special at the BYU Fan Fest in Phoenix, specifically in Gilbert at the Regional Park, coming up on Saturday, May 18th at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Let's call a basketball timeout. Discuss some football with former BYU linebacker Isaiah Kafusi. Why he is standing by his hot take that the 2020 BYU football team could beat any team in BYU history. This is BYUSN.
Isaiah Kafusi, the veteran senior, one of the leaders on this defensive side.
Wilson having to take things or matters into his own hand.
Oh, this time he snowed under. Touchdown, Zach Wilson. Here come the Cougars. Kafusi inside the 10, cuts back in. What a run, touchdown.
House that baby. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now, the man who scored that defensive touchdown. And they've been few and far between in the last few seasons. He is Isaiah Kafusi. Welcome to the show, Isaiah.
Isaiah, what's up, man?
Hey. Thanks for having me. It's always my privilege to join you guys.
Remind us, didn't you say you were going to house it before the game?
I did.
To one of the BYU athletics?
I called my shot.
Yes.
In the pregame. I said, catch me in the end zone tonight. Saw a lot of things on film, so I figured, I could take a chance. Got in the end zone, so I called my shot.
That was awesome. Yeah, that doesn't happen that often in football. Like, Babe Ruth points center field, puts it out, right?
Yeah,
you called a shot.
Called my shot.
That's awesome.
I love it when people call their shots, and I may be mixing stories, but I think BYU had a special teams touchdown, and one of the coaches said, "I'll shave my head if you guys get in the end zone or something."
That'd
tonight.
Be weird if someone said that.
That happened as well, right?
Yeah, that's odd.
It's never good to promise that, because apparently when you do that, it happens at BYU.
I'm like one for three.
Well, and actually, I was able to cut some of his hair. It was Kyle Griffiths.
Oh, Kyle. Yeah, of course,
that?
Kyle
yeah,
would
so
say
he
that.
Let the guys cut his hair.
He was the GA over special teams. Yep. The special teams blocked a punt, scored a touchdown.
Right. Like, yeah, had he been dating Olivia, maybe not. But that was later, right?
Hey, Isaiah. We obviously wanted you on the show for a number of reasons, because you're a great football mind and you're just an awesome dude overall. But you had quite the take over the weekend.
It was hot, bro.
You had some spicy social media interactions with BYU fans because of this hot take. So you said that you believe the 2020 BYU football team is the best ever. You take that team against anyone. Why do you feel so strongly about that?
Just a lot of pride in my team, right? Obviously, I'm biased and partial to that 2020 team. So I saw the clip of Jimmer and Kayla, right, and obviously threw a hot take out there. Probably need to refresh on my BYU history a little bit after that. But obviously, a lot of great teams at BYU. I'm just partial to my 2020 team. I thought we did a lot of good. Coastal Carolina is kind of what I think a lot of people were pointing out, right, kind of hinders that team as the best BYU team ever. But, just looking at the guys, I mean, the guys that we had, the talent that it produced into the NFL, partial to my 2020 team.
It was a special group, no doubt. Is it the best ever? For most people, probably not. It's 84, or in the case of Spence, 83.
Right.
We had it, both at number 8 all time. It's just so hard to know, because you had to play the schedule you had to play.
Right.
So what's the argument, in your opinion, for why it should be way up there, given you just had to play the schedule you had to play, and you guys were 1 yard short of undefeated?
Yeah, I mean, it was out of our control, right? Like, we couldn't control the COVID, kind of scene and what had happened and the schedule. Tom, I think, did a great job at getting games on our schedule, right? So we couldn't control that. Really wish we could have played the schedule that we had slotted, because I think it would have proved, we could have been a lot higher. So, with that being said, I think it's easy to look back at it, in hindsight, for me, but... yeah, that's, I think, where I'm at.
So what's the key now for Kalani Sitake in year 2 of the Big 12 to get back to those winning ways? And I'm not saying that BYU needs to go out and win 11 games while playing in the Big 12. That's a massive ask. That's like potential college football playoff caliber team. If you
win 11 games, you're probably going
in a Power 5. Yeah. But what's the key to taking the next step back in that direction of the teams in 2020 and 2021 specifically?
Yeah, to me, I think the formula starts with leadership, right? We were talking earlier about the guys that are experienced. So I'd love to see the guys like Ben Bywater and Tyler Batty, Michael Harper returning, or Jacob Robinson. So to me, the formula is leadership first, right? Then that translates into accountability, right? Holding the guys in the room, offense, defense, accountable, right, to doing their job. And then from there, that creates guys who make plays, right? Teams that make plays together, sacks, strip sacks, fumbles, interceptions. Like, I think to me, that's the key, specifically, is leadership, accountability, and then making plays.
That was a big question mark last year. Who's the guy? Who's the leader, specifically on defense?
Yeah, and I think they figured out some of those answers, right? Going into this year, you feel like those guys that you listed, those first three you listed, by the way, were on the 2020 team.
See, there we go.
It's been a hot minute, right, with Ben Bywater and Mike Harper and Tyler Batty. I think, too, okay, you don't have to be bad to be good, but you can certainly use that frustration. 2017, 4-9, 2018 and 19, you guys were very young but very talented. We look back at those teams, we're like, look who was on those teams. And you guys were close to being very good, 7-6, 7-6, and then you flipped the switch. What motivation did you have going into that year? Not only of, hey, we just want to play football, but, hey, we're better than 7-6, and we're going to show you.
Well, yeah, it goes back to the leadership, right? I think the core group of guys that were on the team had experienced the 4-9 in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So then, that offseason was one of the worst, I think, offseasons that I'd been a part of. But it taught us, hey, this is what it takes to be great. And then you build on it in 18 and then 19. And then finally in 20, it kind of culminated to that point where, the leaders in the room said, this is how it's going to be, right? We talked about me calling my shot. It was very similar, right? We almost called our shot saying, hey, 2020 is going to be different.
Like, you manifest
it. We manifest it.
Yeah. I like that. And maybe that is the case this year, we're hoping. were hoping that men's hoops, what happened with them, which they added Ali Khalifa and Dawson Baker out of the portal. That was kind of it, right? And Dawson can't really play. It's just Ali. Yet they're way better. BYU football hasn't added a ton of pieces yet. We're hoping that that kind of principle that we've talked about of the frustration of last year.
The core's
five
back.
And seven, the core is back. You didn't add a ton of pieces, but you're hoping the existing pieces are way better.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at the last two games specifically, right? Like a lot of hope from those two games, because I think, you know, obviously we didn't win those two games, but we saw a glimpse of what BYU football can be like playing against really high caliber teams.
We're talking Oklahoma and Oklahoma State,
yeah. Right. And so, but it does start with the core guys. And it's, you know, in today's landscape with the portal and just NIL, like it's hard to do. It's hard to surround the core group of guys and then get guys to come in and also buy in. So really optimistic, though, about this year.
Former BYU linebacker Isaiah Kafusi is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's just ask the question straight up. Why do you believe, and maybe leadership factors into this, BYU will downright be a better football team in 2024 than they were in 2023? Like, what are you circling as this is the reason they're going to be better?
Yeah, I think it's just time, right? Like, talking to my brother who's in the linebacker room, Micah, right, seeing his growth from the first year that, you know, Jay came in and brought his defense and, you know, seeing him confused and, like, not really understanding the defense to now in the spring, like, totally different level, right? He understands the defense, and I think that's probably consistent across all the guys, specifically. You know, I'm talking defense because I'm a defensive mind, but I think it's the same offensively, right? We've had the guys, you know, they've understand the offense, the defense, the special teams. Now we can build at a foundation that I think is different than last year.
Give me the perspective from a defender of, okay, when the offense is moving the ball and scoring, what kind of impact that has on you? Because last year, obviously, BYU was not good at running the football. They were behind the chains. Keaton Slovis gets hurt. They're struggling on offense. That certainly affected the defense. In spite of some good amount of takeaways, some good stops, and some games, didn't have enough, right? What's the effect that a run game could have on the defense this year?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, obviously, time on the field, right? When you can get a break and you can get some time off the field, you can, like, talk with your coaches, you can collaborate. Like, that time is very key for, like, defensively. But then also just momentum, right? Like, we talk about, and I'm a stats major, right? So the expected points of offenses, right, as they get into certain zones
EPA
of the field.
Zone.
Yeah. Like, that all factors into it as well. So, the run, like, offensive production is huge for defense, right? It's not only a morale thing, but statistically, right, it plays into effect.
What are the metrics you like then, Mr. Stats Major?
Man, I mean, so I actually was looking at the stats from last season. So, like, rush defense could get a lot better, right? Like, those are the things that I'm looking at is how do we, like, because that, to me, that's kind of the mentality of the defense. Like, can you stop the run, right? It's man versus man, coach versus coach. Like, who's going to win? So, to me, I think that's one of the stats. And then turnovers, right? Like, that plays a huge factor into if you can win games or not.
You just talked about your brother. You've mentioned Ben Bywater. What do you think of this BYU linebackers group overall? Because I mean, there's a case that they are one of the deepest position groups on this team. So what do you think of the linebacker core and where they are going to take the next step?
I'm really excited, right? I get reflecting on, my, you know, obviously my 2020 year. I was really one of the only older, you know, returners that came back. And then all of them were, you know, Peyton Wilgar, Max Tooley, a lot younger, right?
They were sophomores.
Yeah, they were all sophomores. I see a lot of similarities here, right? We have Ben and Harrison Taggart. And then a lot of young guys, right? Like, Isaiah Glasker, who I'm really bullish on, really excited to see, you know, how he plays. And then, you know, obviously Ace and Micah.
Cialiasera.
And Jack,
right?
Kelly is the big transfer in
exactly.
That room, right?
Yeah, so I'm excited about him. I think the one thing I would love to see out of them is turnovers, right, making plays. I think that's what this defense, like, when it's really good, when we can get a good push up front, we can stop the run, get pressure, when we can lock it down in the secondary, like, the linebacker position should thrive.
So, and it's never been a position where we've been like, oh, we're not talented enough. We don't have enough
right,
guys.
Yeah, we have
we can
so
recruit
many,
linebackers.
Yeah. We've got so much talent in that room. So I'd love to see them make plays, and I think the experience in the defense is going to enable that.
Yesterday or recently this week, Austin Rivers said he could take 30 NBA players and put them in the NFL right now. What's your opinion on that? Because that's been a very polarizing subject.
I don't know. That's tough. I mean, I can't see Kevin Durant out there anywhere, right? Like playing football.
Like Russell Westbrook could probably play corner due to his quickness.
Oh, that's hard though. Playing, that's one of the hardest positions on the field.
But the physicality, yeah.
Yeah, the but yes.
I don't see it the other way either, by the way.
No, I don't
30
either.
30 NFL players in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think so. It'd probably be easier to go from the NBA to the NFL.
Why is that?
The athleticism?
I think it's just the skill, like the skill abilities, right? Dribbling, shooting at a high level, that's got to be tough.
You're just too tall in some spaces, too. Speaking of, Caleb Lohner, former BYU basketball player, Baylor, going to Utah for football.
I saw that. It's interesting.
Yeah, what's your reaction to that? That's pretty interesting.
I mean, good for him, right? It's I'm always happy to see athletes, right, when they can, you know, find a place to you know, that was welcoming to them. NIL is very interesting. It's kind of an interesting time. I'm old school, right? So when you commit to school, to me, you know, that's where you played.
I love that you said you're old school. You were here like 4 years
ago. Yeah, I know.
But
I know.
Everything has changed.
But it has changed.
It's a totally different world from 4 years ago.
Wild.
Yeah, and you know, it's I love to see that, you know, the NIL and taking care of the players, right? I'm a huge fan of that and an advocate of that. Wish there were some, you know, sort of regulations across the NCAA, but, you know, Caleb Lohner, you know, good for him. It'll be interesting to see how he does and hope the best for him.
All right, we need an update on your life. I mean, I know you're in stats and you're doing well in the private sector, but what's happening with your family and what's the latest there?
Yeah, so I've got two kids. We just celebrated my oldest son's fifth birthday yesterday. So I've got a 5-year-old, nice. I've got a 2-year-old come August, and my wife is actually expecting a baby girl.
Congratulations.
So
very nice.
I'm going to be a girl dad. That's something I'm really looking forward to.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, congrats and thanks for coming in. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Isaiah Kafusi. Hot takes and all in studio.
Let's go, man. I love it. Let's go.
2020.
We have warm takes, cold takes, and hot takes. baseball taking on Cincinnati. The last home series for the BYU Cougars is coming up tonight, 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
And in the spirit of Cape Akeda transferring from Utah to BYU, who are the best Utes to Cougars transfers ever?
Yeah.
There's a long list. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We're not doing the other way, by the way.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo, follow BYU Sports Nation on social, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. In the last 15 minutes, there's been news that we're going to deliver you right now.
Let's do it. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Here are today's headlines.
Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball announced the signing of Utah transfer Kaba Keita yesterday. KY said, "We couldn't be more excited to welcome Kaba to BYU. Fits into our program perfectly, both on and off the court. Brings a level of toughness, athleticism, and defense that has been a big priority for us.
Yep.
I can't wait to get to work with him." Keita comes to BYU after averaging 8.3 points per game, 5.4 boards last season, in just 16 minutes a game at Utah. He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. And he is from Mali, as we mentioned, the same as Foose. Pretty cool to have those guys.
Second best offensive rebounding percentage in the Pac-12. I love it. 6-seed BYU softball doing some work against the number 2 team in the country and the 3-seed in the Big 12 tourney, Oklahoma State. The Cougars currently lead 2-0 in the bottom of the second.
Hey.
Haley Morrow scored after she tripled. Lily Owens scored the other run. If BYU wins today, Jerem, I believe they're in the NCAA tournament.
That's great. We'll talk about that more in a moment. This is a top 5 team. This is a team ranked as high as number 2 in Oklahoma State. Baseball hosts Cincinnati in its final home Big 12 series starting tonight, 8 Eastern in game 1 of a 3-game series live on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. The Batcats are 6-18 in Big 12 play, 13th out of 13 teams. They need a minor miracle in the last two series at Kansas State next week to make the 10-team Big 12 tournament. Sweep Cincinnati and Kansas State, and just maybe the Cougars can make it.
BYU men's and women's track and field in Waco competing for the Big 12 championships beginning today, and it runs through the weekend, pun intended.
Mm.
The men's and women's team have 13 total athletes who are seeded in the top 3 of their respective events.
Michaela Clough and Olivia Smith-Griffiths each got the start last night for the Utah Royals in a 2-0 loss to the San Diego Wave in the NWSL. Cameron Tucker and Michelle Vasconcelos each came off the bench for the Royals.
How about Daniel Schneeman, who continues to swing a red-hot bat in AAA baseball, 3-for-5 last night with 3 doubles and a run driven. He's now hitting .306 on the season, 20 extra base hits over his last 12 games. Listen to this. He's batting .442 with 4 home runs, 8 doubles, a triple, and 16 RBIs.
Playing well. The men's volleyball team played its second match of its foreign trip today against Fenerbahce in Istanbul, Turkey, winning in 4 sets.
Former BYU men's basketball signee Isaac Davis announces he has committed now to Utah State. Headed up to Logan, there were rumblings about this recently from multiple sources. Well, now it's official. Also that we should note, JUCO Advocate is reporting that Atiki Ali Atiki has signed to play for New Mexico. So Atiki headed to play for Richard Pitino down in Albuquerque.
Excited for Atiki. Certainly a bummer to lose Isaac. We were excited about him the last couple of years. When there's a coaching change, sometimes things change. And so Isaac Davis, Utah State.
Glad both found solid landing spots.
Those are good programs. Those
great
are really good programs.
Great conference to play in. The Mountain West is a legit basketball conference.
It confirms they were good players, right? Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, there were tweets yesterday that Utah was not offering tickets to BYU for the football game on November 9th at Rice-Eccles Stadium, and BYU fans would have to either buy tickets through the University of Utah or the secondary market. We reached out to BYU Athletics, and according to a spokesman with the athletic department, here is the statement on that issue. Quote, Utah did provide us with the conference-required allotment of tickets. BYU Athletics is not planning to make this allotment available for public purchase. Along with allocating tickets for BYU staff, families, and other internal entities, tickets will be made available through the higher levels of Cougar Club membership.
It's a hot ticket, to say the least.
Yep.
And the allocation is not public, but I can confirm to you it's not a big number. I mean, it's a minuscule percentage.
Those tickets get eaten up quickly.
Yes, very quickly. Yeah. So tough ticket. And they clarify through Cougar Club membership. So
and that Utah did give
they
the
did. Yeah.
Amount.
So that's what I feel was good is that has been clarified. That's good
that
to clarify that.
Right,
Utah
because
they gave what the Big 12 says you have to give.
You see that initial report and you're like, wait, what? No, they gave me a lot of money.
Yeah. All right, those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. The Cougar Whip Wrap presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
With BYU getting Chris Burgess and Kaba Keita from Utah, did BYU lose the battle, the regular season meeting in hoops, but win the war?
Well, we'll see. If BYU can beat Utah this year with Kaba Keita on the roster and Chris Burgess as an assistant coach in Provo, then I think they win the war. TBD.
There's going to be 2 games with Utah.
Yeah, you sweep the series? Okay.
Spence, I think BYU won either way, bro.
It's getting
another Burgess
battle.
And Keita, pretty good.
It's another battle they won.
Like, is getting those two greater than winning direct a game?
Ooh.
I would argue probably because it does more than one game good for you.
Okay, let's stay with Kaba Keita and his transfer to BYU. Because it's Utah to BYU and that specific route, who are the best Utes turned Cougar transfers ever?
We had a discussion this morning. Certainly there are more than this list, but we were thinking of Harvey Longy,
yes.
Austin Lee, Samson Nakua.
Samson Nakua!
Caught a touchdown in the game, right? Paul Miley, Trent Whiting, Chris Burgess, and Cody Feger, among others. I would add maybe Brigham Young, because Utah was founded in 1850, BYA, Brigham Young Academy, 1875. Did we get Brigham in the portal?
That's always a fun trivia question. Who founded the University of Utah? It was Brigham Young.
A pretty prominent figure in 1850.
Yeah, I called that
3 years after settling.
Clear number one transfer from Utah to BYU in the history of this conversation.
Okay, how's it looking for softball's tournament chances right now? They're up 2-0, as you mentioned, bottom of the second. What's the latest?
They just got to the third.
Okay.
So
okay.
They are through 2 innings defensively as well, and now into the top of the third, back up to bat, up 2-0.
Probably going
to
need, 4 or 5 runs?
Probably.
To win this thing?
Like, and BYU has done this. They score a ton of runs. So I would expect that BYU will score more. Oklahoma State can score as well. Obviously, they're the number 2 team in the country, and they just beat up on Oklahoma in Norman.
Man.
So, I don't know. BYU did get one against Oklahoma State earlier, so there is that confidence there. Like, now we got a 2-0 lead. Like, we can do this again.
There's belief.
They win this game, they're in the tournament.
I love that.
Let's go.
They missed last 2. Let's get in.
Yes, this would be 3 years running if they don't get in.
Let's get in.
BYU men's volleyball posted a video of Tom Holmo and Brian Santiago as ball boys.
I saw this.
for the Cougars volleyball match in Turkey. Should they help out in the Smith Fieldhouse this fall, Jaron?
It would be.
It's pretty good.
Not needed, but I did text Tom and said, hey, good job being the ball boy. And he said, I have the most international experience on the team. So well done to those guys.
Yes, he does. Great stuff. After being set back with significant injuries, BYU baseball's Cooper Vest has now flipped the script to prove to himself he can overcome obstacles. His deep blue is a can't miss, and it's up next on BYUSN.
I love Cooper.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Cooper Vest arrived at BYU as a member of the Batcats with high ambition and downright excitement to play a part in BYU baseball and naturally wanting to prove himself. But after sustaining two serious injuries, he found himself trying to prove he could, one, just be victorious over those obstacles placed in his way. This is Deep Blue.
Coop was the king of one more.
I'd be like, hey, bud, we got to go in. It's 100 degrees down here in St. George. No, no, Dad, we got to go one more.
Probably means 30 to 40 more. That one more.
I'll never forget the phone call that I got from Coach Littlewood at the time.
We were in our practice on a Monday afternoon, and eager freshman me decides to get up there, and I wanted to show off for the older guys, and I lay out on a ball that's up in the air instead of just letting it one hop and tore my shoulder with it.
Judd, our athletic trainer of the baseball team, took a look at him. They went and saw the doctor in that MRI and saw, hey, he's going to need surgery to repair it, to repair his labrum.
It's a shorter recovery because it was my non-throwing arm. Timeline was 4 to 6 months. Opening day was 3 months away. So I knew that I had a shot to get back and play.
Coop goes through full rehab and works his butt off to get back on the field.
Battled with a lot of other guys for playing time as a sophomore. We're getting ready for the season.
Coop's working out in a spring game just before the season.
A line drive gets hit to me with top spin in left field, and
Coop all out dives for the ball.
Lands on it, and now it's his left shoulder. So that's gonna put him out longer than the previous one because that's his throwing arm.
Docs had told him, hey, there's a 50-50 chance you may not be able to throw again.
It's gut-wrenching for a kid that works so hard to get back and then have that happen again before he gets to play a game.
That put me in the lowest spot I've ever been, probably mentally. I was scheduled for surgery the day they left for the first road trip of the season. And that just really broke my heart because memories are starting to get made, and they're starting to get made really quick. And here I was under amnesia. All the emotions are flowing through just because I miss all of them. And I want to be with them because that team is one of my favorite teams I've ever gotten to play on.
I could sense Cooper was down after a second injury just because I'd known him for so long. And you see how kids come to the field every day. You learn a lot how when kids come to the park, just how they're acting and who they are. And he didn't seem like himself. And at first you think, oh, it's just because he's hurt. You know, it's hard being injured again. It's hard. Feel like you're not a part of the team. But it was different. I could just, something just tell that he wasn't in a good spot at the time.
I really feel like I didn't have any self-identity at that point. I was just a baseball player. It was just a back and forth teeter-totter about what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do, or if it was fighting the challenges of really staying down there and just sulking in those feelings and emotions, because it's a comfortable place down there.
I got a phone call from my sister, and this was probably 2 or 3 months after Coop had gone through the second surgery. The phone call didn't share many details, just said, hey, Coop's going through a tough time. I heard it through the grapevine, and I want to know, you know, what we can do to support him.
My Uncle Wade, I get a text from him, and it says, hey, Coop, just wanted to check in on you and let you know I'm thinking about you, and simple as that. Let's go grab dinner. Uh-oh. Like, he knows that I've been dealing with some mental challenges, and he knows that I've been going through some things that I probably shouldn't be, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I know I'm in trouble.
We went out to dinner that night, and I just asked him, I said, hey, doing okay? And that's where Coop just looked at me and he's like, I'm not. And quite frankly, we just sat at the table at dinner and just cried together.
He said, I know where you are, and I know how dark that place is. I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit, because the number one thing in your life, the thing you love the most about life, got taken away from you for a second time. Coop, I would just hate to see you give up on your dreams. It hit me right in the heart. Baseball for me made me who I was. It was all I was. Every single baseball memory I had, every single emotion I've ever had about baseball was felt, and I felt like I let the little kid down a little bit.
After we talked, there was just pure love in my heart for Coop and what we could do to support him. And then I'd say that the troops just rallied together, and it was all just based out of, hey, we love Coop. We want Coop to be happy.
I ended up jumping in the car, went up to Miller Park and met him on outside of the concourse, you know, gave him a big hug. First thing I said to him is, Coop, I love you. And then the second thing I said to him is, you need to pull your head out. And he said, yep.
Like, I gotta change. It had to come from inside, and I had to change the scenery of my life, change the setting of my life, and just really understand that the person I wanted to be was different from the person I was at that point in time.
When I came up that next month to see already how his countenance had changed, you could see it in his eyes, in his smile. I mean, I'll never forget seeing that smile for that first time. It was like a weight had been lifted off his shoulders, and it was amazing.
He earned his spot back in the lineup. Nothing was given to him. He fought like crazy to come back from his injury, then he fought like crazy to be a really good player when he got his chance, where we couldn't take him out of the lineup anymore.
Here goes Vest to left field. Can the wind help him? It's on its way. Gone!
I think all of us love a good comeback story where somebody might be down, but they're never out. But that's our choice. I'm really happy for him that he was down, but, you know, he's never punched his ticket and said, hey, I'm out. That he's been able to continue to fight through those injuries and, you know, whatever else comes his way. You know, hopefully he'll take the same approach throughout the course of his life.
The greatest takeaway I would say from all the lessons I've been through is just to be where your feet are and take every day as it is, because you're not gonna get another one of those days. And taking days for granted, they can be taken away in a second. And so to understand that just each day is its own, and you gotta treat it like a different lesson and just touch somebody else and connect with somebody else along the way.
Center field, Fast hit it hard. It's going, it's gone! Two-run shot for Cooper Vest.
Love, Coop. If you want to watch any of our deep blues, you can find them all on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
We'll wrap up the show after this. Who do you think has been Kevin Young's best acquisition as BYU's new basketball coach thus far? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day: what has Kevin Young's best acquisition as head coach of BYU basketball been thus far? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from JoJo on X, who says, I am in love with all of his acquisitions, but since Burgess was a pipeline to getting others on board, he is the best and will have benefits for years, and you can tell my Ute husband that I said so.
Tell him, JoJo!
Today's Rises shout-outs presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Several. Keba Keita for coming to BYU. Sopal still up 2-0 in the bottom of the third, right? Is that the update?
2-0, one down in the bottom of the
third. And then Mensa Cross takes down Liberty 20-12 in the semifinals just a little bit ago in the MCLA National Semifinals. They're going to the Natty Saturday, 12:30 Eastern, in Round Rock, Texas, against either Utah Valley or UC Santa Barbara.
Ooh, let's go. Hey, our thanks to today's guests, Isaiah Kofusi, and a great story on Cooper Vest.
That was awesome. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Naturally, we have to shout out one of those Utah to BYU transfers, so let's just go with Harvey Longy, shall we?
Harvey Longy was awesome, bro.
All right, tune in tomorrow to catch our conversation with new head basketball coach Kevin Young. He's in studio with us. Go Cougs.
Baby.